Now I'm joined in the studio by the one and the only singer, songwriter, guitarist, and I found out he's a violinist as well. It's Stephen Foster Pilkington. Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Finally,
hello.
I get to meet you.
Hi.
After seeing you a lot on Facebook and loads of videos of you everywhere, I think you've been on Bob's show before. I think Bob Simpson.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
He said, I remember him sending my regards.
Aww.
So there we go. So let's start at the beginning. What's your earliest musical memory?
Earliest musical memory? I don't know, The Shadows. How about that? On Thank Your Lucky Stars. And I used to think one silly moment ago, many years ago, that they used plastic plectrums so they wouldn't get electrocuted. But, of course, you know, the fingerboard might take care of that. Yeah, that was my very earliest memory. Down, 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 down. You know, that one. And all that sort of thing.
And was there anybody else musical in the family before you picked up the guitar or the violin? Or was it just something you heard and you thought, I want to be able to do that?
My daddy played the piano rather well. My nan used to also play piano and she loved singing and so on. And we had lots of music around the house nearly all the time. So it was good. And I mean, it's quite interesting. I mean, I started learning the violin when I was about 8 years old. And I remember my mum for my birthday bought me Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto. And I've always liked it since. In fact, I think it's one of the greatest pieces ever. And I started listening to nothing but classical on the whole till I was about 16, and then punk rock came along. And yeah, that was the beginning of the end, I suppose. Yeah, you saved my life and ruined it, right? All at the same time.
So were you playing in any little orchestras or doing anything with the violin up until the age of 16? Or
yes, I was one of the beneficiaries of that fantastic system where anyone, absolutely anyone, once upon a time, could learn a musical instrument, whether it was guitar, bass, violin, drums, whatever it may be. And it's fantastic because a lot of music is so therapeutic. It's something to fall back on. I mean, yes, academics are very, very important, and I teach maths, so I might even know a thing or two about that. But also, I mean, for your mental health, the arts are absolutely essential. This is an equation that a lot of people don't, you know, they just put the left hand of the equation and they don't balance it with the arts, which is where the mental health probably lives, to be honest. Yeah. If you get my drift.
I was just saying about in schools, you know, we've got Great Brentwood School here that's got a fantastic music facilities, but a lot of schools now, they don't, you know, you don't have that luxury. And it is really important because kids, there's something about doing music and being involved in that. Even if you're not particularly very good at playing an instrument, it's the enjoyment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's probably until I was, I was a very naughty boy at school. I think the teachers found me rather confusing because I loved all Beethoven and Shostakovich and people like that. Yeah, I was absolutely useless academically because I'd spend all my evenings just, I used to get scores out of these things and follow them and try and learn what I could. And all my academics suffered. But quietly, I sort of studied my maths and physics and things, which I did find really fascinating, and hence that's why I teach it these days. And it was great, yeah, yeah. And I actually passed all my exams to everyone's total surprise. Yeah.
Do you remember your first gig with a guitar? Do you remember where it was, the venue, and what songs you were doing?
Yes, it was with my first band I formed back in 77-ish, and we were called Fourth Wall for some reason. And our first gig was at this nightclub in Scarborough, where I was brought up, where I went to school. And it was actually a strip club, usually. And that was our first gig.
Yeah. Yeah. Did it go down well or not really? Or was it okay? Or?
Well, it's one of those sort of clubs where they normally have people just sort of on the pool, as it were, and lots of women sort of dancing around their handbags to something like the Doolies or whatever, or Guys and Dolls, all those sort of bands of that period. And we'd come on with this, with our, noise at the time. And I don't know. We still got paid, which is a very rare thing. Well, I don't know, not in certain areas. I mean, there's so many bands being asked to play for free. But we're doing original material and getting paid quite handsomely with free beers as well in a club that was totally inappropriate for what we're trying to do, I think. Yes.
Yeah, you got a bit of punk and then you had bingo in the interval, yeah, isn't it? Everyone got their bingo cards. But punk was, it's a long time ago now, but when we think about what it was, because you were coming out of having like disco and pop, and then this punk was just, to older people, anybody above 30, it was just a noise. It was quite a short amount of time that punk was there, but it was an explosion.
Well, what I think, I mean, before I discovered classical sort of in a big way, I mean, I listened to lots of Beatles, Kinks, Stones, all those classic bands of the 60s, The Move, all that lot. And they're amazing, fantastic songs, really fantastic songs. And what happened with punk, I think someone suddenly started taking a look at lyric writing and taking it rather seriously in the same way that Ray Davies particularly did, for instance, and Bob Dylan and so on. And you got this all of a sudden with some really quite poetical songs, actually, with some serioso messages going on. And that's what I think interested me, funnily enough, even though I was bottom of the class in English for a while. But, in fact, that's what got me into writing as well. Actual lyrics was, you know, as opposed to, I mean, there are great, wonderful party songs he had in the 70s, like Tiger Feet and Ballroom Blitz and all that sort of stuff, and wonderful disco records and so on. But the lyric content, well, I mean, you know, Tiger Feet, what on earth is that meant to be about as such? But, you know, it was a party song, essentially. But then you got these songs where people started taking things really seriously. And a lot of the heavy metal bands, it was sort of, I don't know, mainly sort of, I suppose, misogynist almost, you know, which went with the territory. Not necessarily, not all bands, but some of them. Okay. And yeah, there we go. So, and that's what got me sort of writing lyrics. I was so sort of unsure of myself due to being useless at English, because it took me a few goes to get my English show level, as it was called in those days. I got some friends to write the lyrics, and I just wrote the tunes. I'd probably come up with a chorus line or something like that, but that was about the size of it back then, yeah.